We're going to look at that passage we read. It's up on the screen there. And it's the fourth line down. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day. So I suppose if you went out into the world, most people don't know the gospel. But I guess if you did a poll and you said, you know, which is the most famous psalm? They would say Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. A lot of people would have heard that at funerals or weddings or all sorts of things. And if you said, well, you know, which is the most famous prayer in the Bible? They would say, well, the Lord's Prayer. They may not be able to say it exactly. They may say it in different sort of versions. But I guess the Lord's Prayer, if there was a known prayer amongst people, it would be this one. And it's said over the country, maybe quite informally. We've been looking at this prayer. And we've got to this now. When Suke said, would you take the harvest? I thought, well, what's the next sermon? Well, it's this. And it just seemed to fit perfectly. So I want to take it in three parts. And I've taken a cue. It's always good, you see, to learn from preachers. And I notice what Sukesh does. He takes a verse, he breaks it down, and each point is a piece of the verse. And I've been struggling for years to create interesting points, and I realise it's a lot simpler than I thought. So thank you, Sukesh, for that. So our first point is give us. That's the first heading. So it's just the verse. You only have to remember the verse today. No points. And I've got a number of little points under this, as you might expect, of course. Okay, so what does it remind us of? And the first thing is this. It reminds us that we are helpless without him. So if I came and went to speak to Richard. Richard's at the back there. Hello, Richard. Okay, Richard, if I went up to Richard, let's imagine it's a late Saturday night or Friday, and I go around and I knock on Richard's door, and he opens it. He's surprised to see me. I said, Rich, I really need £10. What would you do? Would you shut the door, Rich, or what would you do? He'd give me the £10, wouldn't he? Because I have a need. He would assume I not just want it to go and buy lottery tickets. I've got a great need. Maybe my car's run out of petrol. Maybe I lost my cards. I just need £10. And he would give it to me. So when we ask, give us, we are acknowledging. It's a very simple point, isn't it? We're acknowledging that I have a great need. I'm asking for something I don't have. And these are very simple points. And we're saying to God, Lord, everything I have, everything I'm going to need for as many days as you give me, comes from you. Not from Tesco, or from Waitrose, or Aldi, or wherever you go, but it comes from you, Lord. And, you know, we've seen recently, haven't we, in the shops, I mentioned the petrol earlier, and we've seen some empty shelves, and people are being urged, of course, the government say, don't panic, and of course, you might as well say panic, haven't you? The government say, don't panic, because people go, oh, we'd better panic. And things disappear. And we realise the supply chain suddenly dries up and we don't have any food. There's no gas to put in the packaging to make the chicken last on the shelves. Suddenly we realise that very, very soon we're without food. And without God, it wouldn't take long for us to starve. The lights would go out and there would be no food eventually. But God sends the rain and he sends you look at those little seeds. I got some bulbs in my, I'm not really sure what to do with them at the moment, but when you put them in, I don't really know much about gardening, but I got these bulbs. And be quite honest, if you came across them and didn't know what they were, you'd throw them away. They're just brown, kind of shriveled up things. You think, well, I'll throw these away. But you put them in the ground and they turn into flowers. It's amazing. Well, I can't make that happen. Only God can make that happen. And if you got a few farming people here, you go out and you see these things growing and you say, Lord, you're doing that. I can't do it. So that's the first thing. Very short point. We're helpless without him. Give us, Lord. Jesus is saying, you don't have, therefore you need to ask. The second thing is kind of the other side of that coin, isn't it? It's that God is a giving God. If you remember nothing else this morning, God is a generous giving God. Jesus said this. He said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. And then this is the bit I wanted to underline. And which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? So, Louis, if I'd given you, you'd asked for a sausage roll yesterday. If I'd have given you a pebble off the beach, would you have been impressed? No. You see? Because if your son or your grandson asked for a sausage roll, put this into the modern idiom, you wouldn't give him a pebble or a stone. Or if he asked for a fish, would you give him a snake? Of course you wouldn't. And then he says this, which is a really powerful verse. If you then, who are evil, who are sinful, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, God is generous and he gives us a gift. And it is a gift. It's not a reward. I think that's worth saying. So, you know, these Pharisees were standing on the street corner and basically saying, look, I'm a really good person, Lord, and you should reward me. See, Jesus says they had their reward. But imagine God did reward us. We said, Lord, I don't want gifts, I just want a reward. What would the reward be? And there's a verse in the Bible which takes us into a minor key here. And it says this, the wages of sin is death. You see, when you go to work and you work all week, you get paid. That is not a gift. That is what you are due. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And we know, don't we, as Christians? You know, we know the Bible here. We know that we're all sinners. And if God gave us what we deserve, we would be in hell. The wages of sin is death. But of course, the verse goes on to say, and you must always take the second half of that verse, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. God gives us what we don't deserve. It's a gift. And then the third thing, before we sing a hymn, give us. You notice not give me, give us. Give us. It's the congregation, it's the community, isn't it? It's he wants us to share. You know, Jesus said we are to be like our Father in heaven. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. God is a generous God. God gives people what they don't deserve. Well, if we want to be like God, we should be giving to others. It's a very simple point, but give us. You know, so do you see your brother or sister in need? Do we look to find out? Well, we've got more than we need, so we share with others. So, our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Give us a generous God. We're helpless unless he gives us, and he gives us so that we can share. Very simple point. We're moving now on to the next part. So we'll just wait for that to come up. There we are. So that was our first point, and the next point is this day. So just breaking it down, nice and simple, give us this day. And what does this tell us? It tells us, first of all, that God does not want us to worry and be anxious. Give us this day. You know, I don't know about you. Well, let's have a show of hands, okay? Small group of people, we can do that. Hands up if you ever worry about the future. Yeah? Yeah? Well, some people are going, oh, a bit, you know. We do, don't we? We're natural. That's our nature to worry, isn't it? Have I got enough for tomorrow? Well, maybe the pension's fine, you know? Maybe you kind of see that. But what about, you know, when age and infirmity takes place? Or what about maybe redundancy comes along? That comes along at any time, you know? And suddenly, how will I pay the mortgage? How will I manage, you know, when perhaps I need to go into a nursing home, pay those huge fees? You know, how will it work out? We worry about the future. And what Jesus is saying here, give us this day. He doesn't say, give us next month, next year, give me enough to get to the point where I lay on my deathbed. He doesn't say that. He says, just give us this day. Do you know, it is not your job. If you are a child of God, it is not your job to worry about the future. That's God's problem. You know? If anyone's going to worry about the future, it's going to be God. God doesn't worry, okay? Because he's got all the resources of the universe. I remember the pastor in the church in Porter's Head, and I remember this, one of the things I remember really clearly, he said, if you needed £1 million tomorrow morning, it would be on your doorstep. Well, if you want it, of course, that's different, isn't it? I don't mind £1 million on my doorstep in the morning, a bit of a shock. But if you needed it, it would be there. Read the story of George Mueller. You know, read the story of C.T. Studd. You know, read those inspiring stories and you see that God provides. So he doesn't want a story. King David, long time ago, he said this. These are striking words. He said, I was young and now I am old. And a lot of us could say that this morning. Yet I have never seen the righteous, those who put their trust in Jesus, forsaken or their children begging bread. Isn't that a lovely verse? So if we're worried about the future, Jesus turns to us and says this morning, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Live for God, and God will worry about the future. There was, going back to a pastor, this is all coming back to me now actually. So, he said, when you get to Wits End Corner, God will be waiting for you. I think it was Frank Houghton who wrote the hymn. And when he died, they found a piece of paper in a Bible, and he'd written poems and little hymns. And he said something, I can't remember this now, dark and dim is the road ahead. How will I plan for the journey, I said. Did you not know on the road ahead, I'm planning for you, the master said. Don't worry about the future. God will provide. Second thing and last thing on this day. He wants us to live each day as if it's our last. This day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow may never happen. Just today. We live by faith a day at a time. You see, this point is, I've got it here because as I was thinking about this verse, and it's this one day thing, there is this danger that bought barns that have stored stuff up. We have a pension, or we have some savings, or we have some money in the house. Many of us do. And for these people who have that, which is a great blessing, it can be a barrier to trusting God. If you have nothing, praise God because you have to trust him each day. But when you have abundance, you don't do that. You forget. You don't need to trust God because the money rolls in. And so there's a danger, isn't there, that we spend all our time thinking about provision for tomorrow. Jesus said, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. So I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods stored up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. This night, this day. When the Israelites had left Egypt, they wandered through the wilderness for 40 years. Now, there's no Tesco in the wilderness. There's no arable land. They weren't farmers. God fed them. And we read in Exodus 16 that in the morning, dew lay on the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. And when the people saw it, they said to one another, what is it? And Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. And then you can read it. It's quite a long reading. I'm not going to read it all out. And they would go out every day and they would collect. And they collected more or less, but they all had enough. But Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over till the morning, the next day." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning. See what they're doing? They're not trusting God to send it tomorrow, so they thought they'd better put a bit aside. And they left it till the morning, and we read it bred worms and it stank. It was just horrible. Can you imagine that? Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as they could eat, but when the sun grew hot, it melted. And the Bible says in that passage that God was testing them. He was testing them to see whether they would trust him or not. So we are saved by faith. We rejoice in that, don't we? Do we walk by faith? Do we walk by faith? Each day, we only have this day. We don't have tomorrow. Let's trust God for each day. Come to the last part now of the message. And so there we are. By the way, there was the picture I didn't put up. I don't know if Louis and Sam can see the picture there. But that's the Israelites' look, and they've gone out. I'll see it better on this one, perhaps. It's a little bit fuzzy. And they're picking up the manna, the sort of white stuff, which apparently tasted a bit like honey. Okay, so you ever have honey for breakfast on anything, then that's the sort of taste they would have had. Right, the next part then, our daily bread. So, what are we going to say about this? Our daily bread. Well, what is it all about? You know, bread's okay, isn't it? But you can't live just on bread. So clearly, it doesn't just mean bread. It means everything that we need to keep us alive. Okay. So the first point here is that God gives us what is best for us. Now, which are you going to choose? Mike, you like cars, don't you? So I'm going to give you one of those. Mike, you know, you're not in life. You either get the BMW 5 Series, which probably be electric or something nowadays, or you're going to get the push bike, the rusty chain. Yeah, don't say the push bike, because we won't believe you. Okay. All right. So the thing is, we all get different amounts in life. You know, there are some Christians, we've known some, who are rich. They have a lot of this world's goods. And then other Christians seem to have very much at all. I mean, we're all equal. God doesn't love the rich, by the way, more. Okay? We've already said that those who don't have so much trust him more. They live from hand to mouth, but they live from God's hand to our mouth every day. And therefore, what a blessing that the rich person never experiences. But God gives us what is best for us, whether it be the push bike in life, so to speak, or the fancy car, the big house, or the, you know, the smaller house. There was a man called Agur, and he wrote some words in the Proverbs in chapter 30, verse 9. And this is what he said. Lord, and I wonder how many of us can honestly pray this prayer. Lord, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. You see what he's asking for there? He's saying, Lord, give me my daily bread. The bread that you see fit for me. It might be fancy wholemeal, sourdough, or it might be the cheap bread of life. If you use that analogy. Okay. He's saying there that if I've got too much, then why do I need to trust God? If I've got too little, I will say, Lord, it's not fair. You haven't given me. And I might curse God because I'm so hungry. Sukesh has been preaching through Psalm 23, and he made a point that's really stayed with me. He talked about the shepherd knowing the sheep individually. I'd never really thought, I mean, just sheep were just an amorphous mass of kind of wool that just ran around. But the fact that each sheep has a personality, and the shepherd knows each sheep and knows how to treat them. Some he has to be a bit harsher with, some he has to be a bit more tender with. And I thought that was a wonderful thought. And I was thinking about that here. God knows each of his children. He knows what is good for us and what would be not good for us. The Christian doesn't have much. Suddenly they come into, I don't know, a huge windfall. It could ruin their life. Think of the prodigal son, for example. You know, what happened? He had that wealth, didn't he? And he went off and his life was ruined. His life was ruined as a result of that. It led him away from God. So God gives us what is best for us. The second point ties in with that. Therefore, there could be a therefore at the beginning of this point. Therefore, we should be content with what God gives us. He's given us so much. The 10th commandment, do not covet, do not desire, do not lust after somebody else's possessions. So, you know, I look over the road, and the man over the road has got an £80,000 Tesla. I don't live in a posh place. I think he came into some money. Somebody died, I suspect. And he's got this Tesla. And be quite honest, I really want one. It's great. He cleans it a lot. And he goes off to the shop in it. And it just goes silently off. And comes back. And I think, oh, I really want one of those. You know? But you know, if we know our Father, if we fully and truly understand the fatherhood of God, we will not break that commandment. Because we will say, Lord, you have given me exactly the right portion in life. He's given us exactly what we need. And one of the Puritans, and I paraphrased a Puritan here, so because it was quite old-fashioned language, but one of the Puritans said this: what a Christian does not have in the cupboard, he has in the promise. That bit of bread that he has is spread with the love of God. Isn't that lovely? I'm going to read that again. It's so good, isn't it? What a Christian does not have in the cupboard, he has in the promise. That bit of bread that he has is spread. I think the Puritan said, spread with the relish of God's love, which kind of, I like relish, so that's, I like that one. Okay, so, you know, if we're not content with what we have, what are we saying? We're saying to God, you don't really care about me. In fact, God, you've given me a mean lot in life. You must be a mean God. That's what we effectively say, isn't it? And if we think about it, where did that start? Can you remember anywhere back in the beginning of the Bible? Can you remember, Louis, right at the beginning of the Bible, somebody said, oh, God doesn't care about you. Who said that? Yeah, the devil said to Eve, didn't he? He said, God doesn't really care about you, because that tree that looks pretty good, if you eat of it, you'll know as much as God's trying to keep something from you. You see? And that's where the lie came from. So if we complain about our lot, and we do sometimes, don't we? We should say, Lord, you've given me exactly what is perfect for me in life. And then the last point here is, give us our daily bread. Let's now fit this phrase back into the prayer. Where did it start? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed, special, exalted, magnified is your name. So we're saying in this prayer that, Lord, you're our Father, and we want to do everything to magnify you. We can't make him better. We can't make God greater, but we can make him greater in other people's eyes. And then we go on to pray, your kingdom come. Oh, what does that mean? Well, we saw there that that means we want God's kingdom to come in our lives progressively. We want the Holy Spirit to invade us. We want to become holy. We want to become more like Jesus. And that requires effort. It doesn't come easy. Prayer, worship, study of the Bible, kind of trying to overcome those sins with God's help. And then your kingdom come. We want other people to know. The harvest is great, the workers are few. We're the workers. So we work tirelessly to share the gospel. And do you know, becoming holy, sharing the gospel, living for God, takes a lot of calories. A lot of calories. Physical and spiritual calories are needed. And so what we say to God is, Lord, give me this day my daily bread so that I can exalt your name, so that your kingdom will come. We don't say, Lord, give me my bread today so I can put on weight, take it easy, and put my feet up.
We could say that.
That's what the world does, isn't it? But we say, Lord, give me this bread so I can serve you. I think there's a final slide. And I put this up because I thought it's a sort of prayer that concludes what we've been talking about this morning. Lord, thank you for your tender care in meeting all my needs. Not my wants, all my needs. Lord, let me trust you, be content with what you have given me, and use your gifts for your glory. What a prayer this morning. So at harvest time, we ask God to give us this day our daily bread. We thank him that he has done that. And we ask him to help us to live day by day, trusting him, not worrying. That's his, tomorrow's God's problem, so to speak. We trust him daily. We rejoice in his goodness. And we praise him for his faithfulness.